show notes, but I do have some notes from when I watched I watched Eve of Destruction.
I have show notes.
And you're the expert in Dark Angel.
Well, we should be recording this, actually, because this is the funniest stuff is when we're doing this kind
of
thing.
I'm recording, of course.
Oh, welcome to the screencast.
Oh, wait, are we starting?
I guess.
Hold on, I gotta inhale some nicotine for a second.
Are you electronic cigarette?
Yeah, I vape.
You what?
I vape, is what they say out here.
Like we are recording this, right?
Yes.
Is this going on the podcast?
It can if you want it to. I don't care. Yes. Anyway, so you make fun of me vaping?
Well, dude, you shouldn't call it vaping. Vaping sounds a lot like raping.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, just think about, like, if you're in the midst of a conversation with somebody and you're like, dude, I was vaping yesterday. Somebody could hear I was raping yesterday. And that could get you very, very hurt, Sean.
I didn't make it up. It's, you know. There's a whole, like, subculture down here, I guess.
Well, no, it doesn't matter if you have to make it up. You still use it. You don't have... It's not that, you know, you're accused of making it up. You're actually using the term.
Let me electronic cigarettize. Right?
You can just say smoke, because it's still what you're doing. And don't be all pretentious and say, it's not smoke. It's not really a cigarette.
No.
It's vapor.
It's water vapor. I can vape indoors and no one will care. It doesn't matter at all.
No, it just gives an excuse for more douchey behavior. I don't have a problem with e-cigarettes, but I have a problem with people that abuse the e-cigarettes.
Yes, and I actually on my last little plug action going on here, my Geek Couch Fireside Lounge podcast that I do.
Fireside Lounge? It sounds like you're giving massages.
Well, vocal massages. For your eardrums.
I just felt my eardrums rumble.
We actually talked about it, and it's, yeah, same kind of thing. Yep. In a movie theater, hell no. In, like, a restaurant, no. Do it either in your home or outside. Like go with all the smokers, yeah, go outside, treat it that way, and you're good to go.
Pretend it's a cigarette. That's all you have to do. You know, pretend it's a cigarette. I mean, you can do whatever you want with it, but just don't be blowing the smoke in people's faces.
Don't be an asshole.
Exactly. Or don't be a douchebag.
Right. There All right, go. let's kick this thing off here. Welcome to the Screamcast, everybody. I'm your host, Sean DeRigger.
And I'm the co-host, Brad Henderson.
you need to sell it more, man. You need to be a little more confident here.
I'm the fucking co-host. I'm the fucking co-host over here. Hey. Brad fucking Henderson, huh?
There you go.
I don't think I sold anything. We just lost like 5 listeners.
Yeah, the whole anyone from that area.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Anyway, like I can check the stats. There's probably like 2 people. Sorry, everybody. All right. All right. So yeah. So we're welcome to the show. We're a bit disorganized today, and
we're disorganized every fucking time.
I know, and I always try to make an excuse for it, and it's like there's no excuse. That's just the way it is.
It's true. I think that we are disorganized. I was going to say organized, but I didn't want to lie. Right. I'm sorry.
And we don't have a guest host today to kind of, you know, shield the amateurness of our podcast.
This will actually determine to see if we have true listeners.
It will.
There you go.
Well, today we're talking 2 sci-fi Scream Factor releases. We are going to be covering, you say it best, Brad.
I come in peace, and not that Dark Angel bullshit.
And what's the other one?
Eve of Destruction.
Yes. I actually thought it was a bit odd that they released these 2 movies, since they're sci-fi, and, you know, when Scream Factory started, it was more along the lines of, I thought they were just going to release straight horror every single time, but they've released some kind of odds and ends. Ninja 3 is kind of on the border. It's a supernatural ninja movie.
Yeah.
Technically not horror, though. And then they have these 2, and then Saturn 3 is another sci-fi, but that one's more
Well, they have Assault on Precinct 13 as well.
Oh,
It's not sci-fi or horror, just Carpenter.
Exactly.
I think that's mostly because they just wanted, you know, they're releasing all these other Carpenter movies, and they kind of want it under the same label. That's my guess.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they did Body Bags, Prince of Darkness, you know, They Live. You know, I just think that in The Fog, they want more. I mean, they would probably like to release all John Carpenter films.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they would release them all on Screen Factory. I guess when they very first started, it was like a horror line. And I understand, like, that's kind of where they're coming from. But I think once they got down in it, and like I said in the first podcast of, like, their strategy and how things actually work when they're picking up films and, you know, getting the rights and licensing and all that, they do get these films in packs sometimes. And I truly believe that Eve of Destruction is one of those movies that came. It's like, hey, if you get this and this, you guys have to, you know, release Eve of Destruction. And it's weird because you think this would be one of those films that was released on maybe a double disc mm-hmm. instead of single. And that's the only answer I don't have. And I would love to ask Jeff Nelson or Cliff why. Why is it a single and bare bones as well? I mean, maybe to make it cheaper, but... number one, it's an odd title to release by itself. And second, with Bare Bones. And third, Gregory Hines is in it. There's no selling points.
No, there's not. The only reason that I remember this is just another one of those things, because I am a huge, as a kid especially, was a gigantic sci-fi nerd.
I thought you were going to say Kurt Fuller fan.
that too. Kurt Fuller, yes.
Yeah, Kurt Fuller is the man.
But it's another one that I remember the VHS cover, you know, of him and that goofy laser sight gun.
Yeah, you know? No, it always stuck. I believe I have a copy on VHS still. I don't know why I haven't burned it yet, but I mean, I still have it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't burn my VHS. I was just joking.
What do you think about Scream Factory doing different genres? Are you okay with it?
I'm totally fine with it, because it's going to get that treatment. I could really give a shit if they release comedies, horror films, action films. It really doesn't matter to me deep down. I'm just glad that they're picking films. Even though Eve of Destruction isn't a great movie, it's not bad, and it's very cheap. It's one of the cheaper films mm-hmm. from them to buy,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because it's bare bones. But it does have reverse cover art, which was a little odd to me.
Yeah, I saw that. And I actually flipped it around to the other side.
I forget what the other side is. I think I kept the one with the laser sight.
He still has the goofy laser sight. It's just...
That's fucking Gregory Hines. He's always getting laser sights up in there.
Yeah.
I forget what the question was, Sean. I focus on Gregory Hines, and then I kind of lose all... like my ability to even process thoughts.
Yeah, no, you're cool with them doing this, and I think if it falls under kind of the cult kind of underseen, you know, B movie, whatever B movie means, and some people have a problem with that term, I don't at all. I'm totally fine with them releasing movies like this. So, but Shout Factory's been doing that too, and that's where the confusion is, because they've been doing some, and actually I just got a couple Scream Factory discs in the mail. I got, The Incredible Melting Man, and I got Q, the Winged Serpent, and then one more. And then, so there's three, and I had thought they were all Scream Factory releases, but I guess on two of them, I got a tweet back from Shout Factory, and they said...
Oh, it was a misprint.
It was a misprint on two of them.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's only on two of them. It's on Q and... Incredible Melting Man. Yeah. I remember when those came out, somebody asked like right away. It's more than likely just a misprint. Shit happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't take him away from that line, of course. I mean,
no.
Shout Screams the same thing. So I really don't give a shit what the spine says.
You're right. I'm just glad that they're putting out movies like this. I actually have A Boy and His Dog on the way. It should be coming next week.
Oof.
I'm pretty excited about it.
That movie.
More than I should be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that, you know, like the book and the movie, like it's a really like intriguing and very, very good idea. It's just, it's really fucking batshit bizarre. And just the fact of, because you know what it, you know, like what it's about, like the dog, like has like
the dog can sense women, and he's basically
he can talk to the kid, and basically Don Johnson is going around screwing these chicks that the dog's getting him.
It's the best kind of dog to have.
I mean, that's a badass plot. I just the movie just kind of falls a little flat.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies where the idea is way better. Like when you first hear it, you're like, holy shit.
Right.
And then you watch it and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I was not expecting that at all. But I mean, whatever.
Kind of the same premise as Hell Comes to Frogtown. He's the last human man and he must, you know.
Well, that is an awesome movie, though. So I know we were talking about that, which if people don't know, because I'm surprised, because you're not the only one. There are two sequels to Hell Comes to Frogtown. It's Return to Frogtown and Max Hell Frogtown, or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
They're both terrible, but, I mean, they are Frogtown. I mean, when you hear Frogtown, you think of giant frogs. It's giant frogs as people. and Roddy Piper is basically the only fertile man.
Yes.
Still left. And he wears like this steel, it's like this steel chastity belt, and protects his junk so he can, you know, spread his seed.
Yes. Obviously men wrote these movies.
No.
No?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead with yes. Yeah, it's definitely by dudes.
All right, well, let's get back on track here. We are talking about Eve of Destruction, the first flick that we are going to talk about, and you know, with this one, we can like I said, it's bare bones. I mean, this really should have been the second movie in a double feature, and I would even say
fourth movie.
I mean,
but quadruple, I say, like, pack.
You know, like they could have gotten away with that, like maybe Saturn 3 or something like that, like another lesser known.
Yeah,
you know?
I think Saturn 3 would have been, that's a good idea, Sean. Why don't you write to Screen Factory?
Yep, I'll see what I can
do. We'll have it pulled from the shelf.
Okay.
And we'll put it together with Saturn 3.
Because that's cost effective.
Yes, that saves tons of money.
So we got Gregory Hines starring in this one. And this is basically kind of a take on a Terminator movie, right? So there's
this, it's a total Terminator. You know,
female android played by Renee Sautendzik.
Do you realize you're not allowed to? I thought we talked about this, where you're not allowed to say people's names anymore because you always kind of fuck it up.
I know.
Isn't the first time. This is like the fourth time during the show.
No, I do it all the time. And on my other podcasts, I always do it too. So it's my thing. Okay, I think I'm gonna trademark that. Can I trademark that?
And
I'm even using trademark wrong. I can't pronounce her freaking last name. Okay. It's, you know, she's Dutch. And, basically the plot is this, scientist creates an android version of herself. The android.
Eve 8.
And, or is it 7? It doesn't matter. 7 or 8. Okay. She creates this android version of herself. For some reason, it goes into a bank. Shit goes down at the bank. People get killed. She gets shot, she goes crazy, and decides she wants to kill people.
Bam.
Is that fair? That's a fair assessment.
Dude, I think that if you walked in to whoever the hell thought of producing this movie, I think that's the exact pitch that they probably used.
Right.
But honestly, you could say a ripoff of Terminator, but I'd like to say this is a ripoff, and the fans out there will know what I'm talking about, Lady Terminator.
Holy Lord.
Because Lady Terminator is a lot better than Terminator. No, if you haven't seen Lady Terminator, and Sean, I don't know.
It's on my list.
Dude, it is unbelievably awesome. And that would be like a great great Scream Factory release, just because it's so batshit.
See, they could have done a double feature with Lady Terminator.
Oof.
I need to get hired over there. I need to.
That's like a 10-disc set, Lady Terminator. Boom. Sell $100 on the shelf. Boom. Sold.
Box set.
But, yeah, I mean, Eve of Destruction is pretty much running off. I mean, because there was a lot. I mean, when Alien came out, there was a bunch of, you know, Alien ripoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, and when Terminator came out, there was a shit ton of Terminator ripoffs. And Eve of Destruction was kind of like a new spin because they were putting it as, you know, Lady Terminator wasn't that popular over here, of course. And it was, I think it was made in the Philippines as well. It had some American actors. But aside from the point, like, they're putting a woman, you know, a woman in the lead role as kind of the android, trying to put a new spin on things. It just, and then using great, like, any action star, why the hell would you pick Gregory Hines?
That's what I want to talk about Gregory Hines here. Because in 88, it's 1980 when this world came out, when this movie came out. And he had starred before and earlier in the 80s in Running Scared with Billy Crystal.
Which is a decent movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fun, right? Yeah.
And then in Mel Brooks' History of the World Part 1. Right? He was in there.
Yeah, no, he's always kind of being like this, you know, this comedy and dramatic actor. He doesn't really step foot as an action. He can't sell an action movie.
It's kind of like what they did with the movie Predators, right? With Adrian Brody trying to play an action star.
I don't know.
Except Adrian Brody isn't funny at all.
Right. No, I understand.
It's this type of miscasting. No,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Adrian Brody would be the best comparison, because Adrian Brody is an all around good actor, in my opinion. Like, he can pretty much. The only problem is thinking of Adrian Brody, when I always thought of him, he's a skinny toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he really did beef up for Predators.
Yeah,
I admit they could have probably chose someone that more wanted to look the part of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger Dutch type thing.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. That movie kind of blew no matter what. So I don't know if it really matters. Now, if they put Gregory Hines as the lead, then yeah, that would be a total, total flop.
I mean, the funny thing is here, at least Gregory Hines wasn't doing the "I'm a tough guy" action voice, you know, because Adrian Brody did that all through Predators, and that annoyed me to no end. Instead, Gregory Hines just talks loud all the time like this, just yelling, right?
Well, I'm really glad that you backed away from the microphone so there wasn't a blowout, and you basically lost all listeners.
Well, I mean, he's yelling his lines throughout the entire movie. There's no denying that.
Maybe he's deaf. You ever think of that? Well, I don't know. Like, the best part of Eat of Destruction is, like, I know people laugh when you say Kurt Fuller, and maybe people don't know who Kurt Fuller is, but you definitely know him by looks. And I guess the best thing that he would be known for would be Wayne's World. He was kind of Rob Lowe's assistant in Wayne's World. I can't think of his name in Wayne's World.
It was
Wayne's World.
I can't remember either.
Oh, well, anyways, he's in Wayne's World, and when you see him, he plays in a lot of comedies.
I made a note here. Basically, in every movie he's in, he's pretty much like this sleazeball, slimy guy.
Yeah, no, he's a good, like, sleazy, funny guy. And everything that he says, it's just, I can't remember any of the dialogue. I remember watching the Blu-ray when it first came out, but I did not rewatch it. So I saw it a while ago, but some of his lines in this movie are just completely ridiculous. Like, the writing in this movie, it's really hard to fathom that someone sits down and write, like, you can write it.
Yeah.
But do they read it back to themselves is my question. Do they actually have, like, table readings of where, hey, I'm going to say this, and they hear it, and it's like, oh shit, no, do not say that, because that sounds terrible. But it's just, you know, I don't know. But anyways, it's my rant on Kurt Fuller's lines.
Yeah. No, he's one of those guys when you see him, you're like, oh, this guy. You know, I kind of like this guy in a weird way, you know. But he's good. So the movie was directed by Duncan.
Duncan, stop.
No, but I'm going somewhere.
He
with
basically
this.
Didn't do Duncan anything. Gibbons.
What do you know why he didn't do anything after that?
Oh, did he die?
Because he died 2 years later.
God, and, dude, you're such... You bring a... Every time someone has died that we speak about on this podcast, you want to bring it up so you can bring everybody down with your death.
No, and the reason why I wrote this down, because, like, okay, this movie's not the greatest, but at least it showed, you know, a little bit of promise that maybe this guy can actually do something, you know. But I guess he was, in 1993, there were some Southern California fires, and he had gotten out of the area, but allegedly, you know, based off what I read on IMDb, okay, so take it with a grain of salt, allegedly he went back to rescue his cat and died rescuing his cat.
Jesus, dude. I thought you were going to, like, give me some kind of goofy thing that's sad as shit. Oh, my gosh, man. Like, you're just bringing me down right now. Like, that... Now I love Eva Destruction because this guy is, you know, loves his cats.
He loved his cat. He went back for his cat, and the cat... Of course he...
But that's... It's dying a heroic death.
Well, the cat survived with, I guess its ears burnt off, but the cat lived.
The cat lived and he died?
Yes.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah. All right. You know what? Death's a part of life, Brad. You really need to realize that.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, number one, that's like, it's heroic. And, you know, that's just, that guy's a badass.
But see, here's the difference between you and me, Brad. I say fuck the cat. All right? I'm going to get out of here.
More
out of my
listeners
house. And I'm just going to get out. And, you know, the cat's on its own. Cat's on its own. I'm alive. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
All right, moving right along.
we need to move on.
To be fair, I am an animal lover. I do love animals. I have, you know, we have a dog. And,
bullshit.
We had two cats.
We had two cats, but they unfortunately they died in a fire.
No,
I
they
threw
did.
Them in, and I laughed.
No, I'm going to stop right now because I'm taking myself into some holes here.
Yeah, just you're not digging yourself out.
I'm a realist, people. Okay, humans are the top of the food chain, unless you're in the water and there's a shark. But you know, or in you know the jungle and there's a panther. But you know where we're at in the suburbs, humans are the top of the food chain. Okay, so if it's between me and a cat, I'm gonna save my own ass.
What does that have to do with a food chain? The cat's not trying to eat you.
I don't know. We're the superior species. Is what I'm saying.
And being the superior species, you need to take responsibility and save the ones that cannot save themselves.
Cats have 9 lives, they'll be all right.
Well, in that case, then you're right, because the cat did survive.
See, the cat would have been fine. All right, where the hell were... Where did the... Good Jesus Christ. Sorry, everybody.
The director died, sadly, of saving his cat. And
right.
I basically made a joke that he didn't do anything after this, pretty much. I think he made, like, I remember looking it up a while. He was like a music video director, too, or some bullshit.
Something like that. He did some TV and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, but he pretty much didn't do anything after this, and that's the reason why.
That's the reason why. All right. So, back to the movie here. So there's some weird things that I noticed during this movie that...
What, the penis scene?
Well, the penis scene, but that guy had it coming, but in the kind of the
no
same
pun
vein,
intended.
Like, yeah, right. They introduce the scientist character and her son says, "Mommy, do you know what this is? That's a vagina." And he's like, he has this nude, like, Dr. Color book. And he's naming off all the parts of the anatomy, human anatomy. And it's supposed to be, like, kind of played for laughs and cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was very cute.
I thought it was just weird.
It's better than fucking visiting hours.
As a parent, like, I don't know, I wouldn't... Maybe, you know, she's a scientist and that she's just training her kid up to know the anatomy. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a bit odd, but that's maybe it's just me.
I don't know. I just think there's a few sexual jokes in the movie. And also some, you know, I forget what the line is about. Don't they talk about like a bitch switch or, you know, like you found the off switch on her?
Right. But yeah, because the first thing that really kind of triggers her in the bar when she tries to seduce this guy and takes him to, for some reason, the bar is next to a hotel or has a hotel in it. And she, you know, he calls her a bitch and that totally, you know, flips the switch on her, and she, you know, basically, you know, she gives him some oral, if you know what I'm saying, and not in the nice way.
Oh God, Sean.
No, not funny. Yeah, that's.
No, it's not. It's not that it's. It's not that it's not funny. It's
is that
just,
is that a spoiler?
No, it's definitely not a spoiler. It's just, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about right now.
She bites his. She bites his dick off.
That's a spoiler.
Damn it! See,
see, that's the spoiler. And we will say that since we've done that, and I think Brian Sauer actually gave away kind of last episode. He kind of hinted at what happens at the end of Bad Dreams.
Oh, I know, and I was trying not to too, huh?
Yeah, he like said he said something that he like as he said I don't want to spoil anything, and then he said something. And it was fine, but later on in the episode, he said something else that totally gave away the end of Bad Dreams. And if you haven't listened to it, I'm not going to say it. But we are going to try to make this podcast spoiler-free.
We try to.
Yeah, try to. I mean, there's going to be certain things that we're not going to be able to hold back, because especially if it's a guest or something like that we're talking to, if we want to ask a question on a certain scene or something like that. This is my serious voice. I'm speaking seriously right now.
Okay.
But anyways, we will try to be spoiler free. Other than that, Sean just gave away the ending of E Destruction.
That's the ending.
Big oral crunch. That's definitely not.
I don't think it really affects the plot. It's just, you know. But anyway, all right.
Eva Destruction. Was it like always like $11.99 or something?
Yes, it's like when I got it, like $13.98 or something like that. So yeah, it's, you know, it's under $15.
It's way too much for Eva Destruction.
It is, which is why I'm saying this would be a perfect second movie on some double feature, because that you get no special features, no nothing. The transfer on this is okay, you know, for these movies. You know, I don't think there's any cleanup done. I think they just took whatever master was laying around the MGM studios and, you know.
Well, I'm sure they touched it up a little bit, but yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, more than likely they didn't spend a ton of time on, mainly because it's just one of those things that, you know, why spend the money and waste, I hate to say waste the time because it's a film, but, you know, just working as hard as they do on some of this other stuff. So this is more or less one of those, you know, subpar releases.
Yeah, and it makes sense that this is something that they got as a part of a package, because they just kind of, you know, it is a fun title for them to have in their catalog. You know, because when I first saw Eva Destruction, I mean, my first reaction was, holy shit, they're putting out Eva Destruction.
Oh, it's the same way. Yeah, you know, as soon as it was announced, I was like, on Blu-ray? Like, yeah. You're getting this on Blu-ray? Like, yeah. Why didn't they fucking take off The Outing on that, or, you know, The Vagrant or Cellar Dweller, and slap this on a DVD and give one of those a single Blu-ray release? Yeah. That's another question I'm going to ask them.
I mean, I would rather
write these questions down, Screen Factory, I'm going to question you.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have the movie Arena out on Blu-ray than, you know, I would jump at that.
The biggest donor for Arena.
It's fucking awesome. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's awesome. Did I tell you about that, or did you discover that on your own?
I think it was late one night, and I was perusing through Netflix after about four beers, and I saw the poster, and I went, holy shit, what is this? And I put it on, and I did not stop watching it.
I think I had Arena and Robot Jocks on the same VHS that my mom recorded on.
Sweet.
That's a good double feature.
That is. So, Screen Factory folks, I really hope you are taking notes, because we're dishing out gold!
Golden
ideas. All right. Well, let's, I think we've talked Eve of Destruction, pretty much talked it out. Let's go ahead and take a break here.
Musical guest.
Musical guests. We got to do this.
I can't wait. Who is it?
This band is called Memphis Mayfire. They're out on Rise Records. The album comes out on the 25th of March. Song I'm going to play for right now is called Beneath the Skin. You're listening to The Screencast. Another day takes its foot in this prison, dreading what they'll say.
feels alone. No one sees all the pain she brings everywhere she goes.
From the album Unconditional, that is Memphis Mayfire with the song Beneath the Skin. Comes out on March 25th.
March 25th.
Mark your calendars. You can pre-order now on iTunes, and they are on Rise Records. So,
Rise Records.
If you dug the song, check it out. If you hated the song, it's only one song in an hour-long podcast. Okay, get over yourself.
Yeah, but how long is a song?
It's like 3 minutes.
Three minutes. I can deal with 3 minutes.
Come on, it's not like some, you know, 10 minute prog rock bullshit.
What does that mean? Like, what if the song's good? No, I sorry, Sean.
Like Russian circles or something like that.
Means I was just asking. What if it's like a typo negative song? Because I really dig typo negative.
I don't know if I can handle 11 minutes of typo negative. Is there even an 11 minute type of negative song?
Yeah, Black Number One.
Well,
dude, a lot of their songs are long.
I don't listen to type of negative.
You need to.
Okay.
Especially if you're doing this podcast.
Noted. I must check out type of. I mean, I've seen, you know, in school I saw like stickers and people, you know, drawing type of negative logos on the backs of their books. You know, all the rebellious kids who dress in all black.
Well, fuck those kids. Type of Negative is really, really good, like, gothic, you know, I wouldn't say metal, but they have a lot of doom qualities. So you would mostly say they're like a light doom metal band.
Nice.
But they're excellent. Check them out.
Seriously, I will check them out. And this, for some reason, turned into a plug for Type of Negative.
There you go. I'm a big Type of Negative fan, so there you go. That's the reason why.
Sweet. Speaking of being a big fan, you've seen our next movie like 3 or 4 billion times.
Yes. We're going to talk about I Come in Peace, a.k.a., as you other losers know, Dark Angel. Do not call it Dark Angel. Please.
Let's dive into that first. Now, do you know the story with the title changes? I've always known it as I Come in Peace. I remember seeing the movie trailer for when it was initially had its initial release.
I think I know the story, but you probably do, so I'm going to ask if I'm right.
Yeah.
When it did it theatrical, it came out as Dark Angel. But when it went to video, and because it kind of bombed, of course, when it went to video, then it became I Come in Peace. But many people know it from video and not from theatrical because it was a very small time. So that's the reason why I think. Am I correct, Sean?
I think you're in a sense correct, but it was released overseas first. So its European title and the title that it was initially released as was Dark Angel. And then when they brought it to the U.S. for the U.S. theatrical release, for some reason, I don't even know why, they changed it to I Come in Peace. And because I remember seeing the movie trailer, the theatrical trailer, like on TV. And I distinctly remember them calling it I Come in Peace because I'd never heard the title Dark Angel before.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it came over here as, you know, I think that now that I think of it, they didn't call it that because there were other titles. Was it something around that time?
Yeah, there was, no, and that's the weird thing,
too.
In the past, like the 1920s and 30s. So it's like, why the hell do you guys even care?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It's a weird thing.
But also, that title sucks.
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel sucks.
I don't even know where you get Dark Angel from this movie.
No, I mean, I Come in Peace, I I understand because of the final line of the movie is amazing. Well, it's not the final line, but it's one of the lines that Dolph Lundgren says before, you know, everything goes down.
Well, and when you first meet the alien badass, the first thing he says
is, that's what he says, too. So, I mean, yeah, it totally makes more sense.
Which I don't even know why. I don't know why he said it. Maybe to try to calm the person down?
Well, I mean, that's the first... I mean, I think as, you know, history has went on from, you know, even the time that Orson Welles read War of the Worlds on the radio and mass hysteria broke out, I think most people associated with if aliens did land, they would signal or hopefully signal or say something that, you know, they were going to be peaceful. So I think all around, I come in peace would be something that you would say to somebody, hold up your hands to say you don't have any weapons or anything. I don't know. I'm just bullshitting right at this point. But I think that's, I mean, it would make sense why they would say it.
Yeah. So the plot of this flick
is fucking ridiculous and amazing.
Can you explain the plot, Brad?
Yes. I Come in Peace is they best way to put this. There's a cop who basically goes against the book for everything, and he is Jack Kane, who is played by the amazing, talented, and actual smart. Dolph Lundgren is incredibly intelligent, by the way, if you guys don't know. Jack Kane, who is basically going to stop and wants to basically catch this guy, I can't think of the guy's last, Victor, this kind of like this drug lord. Or drug, I guess you would say supplier, not really a drug lord. And his, I mean, this isn't a spoiler, his partner dies basically in the beginning. And there's, he's partnered up with a new guy that's like from this other, is it another like, doesn't like the FBI come in and give him.
Yeah, I think it's the FBI.
Yeah, it gives him awesome, I forget his, his actor name, but it's
Brian Brian Benben of Private Practice. That's his name.
Well, I think it's Lawrence, right?
No. Well, the back of the DVD case, the blue.
No. I'm saying his character name. Oh, his character. Lawrence. Yeah. Lawrence Smith or something.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't have IMDb up.
You don't.
I don't actually know.
Oh. Well, anyways, basically, this alien comes to Earth. Basically getting ephedrine or what's the drug that he's pulling from the forehead. He basically ODs them on heroin.
Right.
And pulls out
endorphins is what the back of the box
endorphins.
Says.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why I said ephedrine. Basically pulls the endorphins as a supply to, well, that kind of gives the movie away, what he's supplying. But basically, this alien is injecting people with heroin, basically, to get these endorphins to supply what he needs, which is fucking, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, as a plot, like, thinking of why the alien's here, it's not for, you know, our water or our food or for our land. He's here to pull endorphins from us to basically supply what he needs. And it's ridiculous. And it's just, I mean, it's such a bizarre plot, but it works because, you know, you have these drug cops that are, you know, finding these, you know, these junkies, these mysterious deaths of people. And they all have this puncture mark in their forehead. And I just, it's pretty excellent.
Yeah. And
that's like, I think I totally butchered that because trying to basically explain the plot of I Come in Peace is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Because I thought I would be able to do it like that, but then I started thinking about it. I was like, holy shit, this movie is really bizarre.
It's crazy. And the bad alien, whatever his name is.
Oh, God, it's something ridiculous. Don't even try it.
He's played by Matthias Hughes.
Oh, that's right. I thought it was something crazier. But there you have Matthias Hughes. Good job. Who he's also, awesome. His name is Talek.
Talek.
Talek, his alien name.
Now, I want to know where this guy came from. I want to say he came, one of these guys was an actual, like, football player or something like that, like an athlete. I don't know if it's him or another guy. I was trying to remember from the documentary, one of these guys was an actual athlete. But,
Well, I know that Hughes was in a lot of, if I remember correctly, he was in kind of a lot of action movies. He's like a black belt or some bullshit.
Yeah, something crazy, like kickboxing or something crazy. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But he's awesome in this, and I feel like for me anyway, this was.
Oh, he's a great alien. He reminds me of Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. That's kind of like,
yes,
like his stature and kind of the overbearingness that he has. That tall, blonde haired guy that you really don't want to fuck with.
Yeah. Yeah, you see him show up and you don't want to mess with him.
Right.
But I guess he also played a Klingon in Star Trek VI.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I'm on IMDb now.
Get off IMDb. Well, since you're doing that, I am going to also say that this movie is directed by Craig Baxley. Baxley, I believe it is. Who had this 3-film streak that includes I Come in Peace. He did Action Jackson. With, I forget his name now.
Gregory Hines. I'm just kidding.
Dude, don't even play. Don't ever do that. You can't do that to me. Don't be thrown. It's fucking Carl Weathers. I almost said his fucking name in Predator. But anyways, Carl Weathers and the beautiful Vanity, who Vanity also plays in Never Too Young to Die with John Stamos, that you should really check out because it's fucking fun. But he did Action Jackson, and then he did, I believe his next one was I Come in Peace, and then he did the amazing, beautiful film Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth.
That was amazing.
Lance Hendrickson, William Forsythe, like, basically this dude goes against... you know, he's this gang of bikers.
That's awesome. If you haven't checked out
Stone Cold, yeah,
if you haven't watched Stone Cold, you're missing out.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that Brian Bosworth did in like Out for Justice and shit like that, Brian Bosworth was a great action star in the 90s.
Yeah.
End of story.
And his mullet was to die for.
Right. But this isn't about Stone Cold. This is about I Come in Peace. So I Come in Peace has... Killer, like, Scream Factory did a wonderful job with the sound on this. Mm-hmm. And the picture, because thinking of it, I Come in Peace could have been a direct-to-video release. And that's kind of what the movie feels like to me a little bit, but it's because it's so campy sci-fi. But it's legitimately, like, all the effects and everything are pretty legit. Like, nothing looks too crazy in the movie. And they don't go above and beyond, like, what their budget was either. There's not, you know, fucking lasers and shit. The gun is fucking ridiculous, though. Because the gun that the alien carries, Talek, and also the other, because there's another alien that's involved that's actually, like, military. He's like military from the other planet.
He's the good guy.
That they just have these guns, basically take the gun that RoboCop has and put grenades on it. And that's exactly what it sounds like. Because when they shoot, just shit just starts blowing up.
Yeah.
They're not shooting anything that's explosive. Their gun really does just blow the fuck up. And watching this movie, there's a few gun battles in this. And the house, if you have like the good sound system, your house will just rumble. And it's just, and that's what I like about Scream Factory is with certain releases, their sound that they really, really work on, because also the dialogue and the action going on at the same time, like both are crisp and clear and you can hear everything. And I really, really like that because that's one thing, like with VHS and other DVDs, like you fucking couldn't hear sometimes with certain releases. And Scream Factory does make sure that you can hear everything, and I love that.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's
good job.
What is it? DTS HD Master Audio Stereo. So I don't think there's a 5.1 on here, which is fine with me. I think back in the 80s and everything, they didn't do a whole lot of 5.1, did they?
Not that I know of. I mean, it all depends. I'm not a big audio guru, but I know that a lot of things, older releases, some things that Screen Factory does, it only is 2.0. Maybe that's all that's available, you know. Yeah. Even with these other companies like Scorpion releasing and Vinegar Syndrome, pretty much everything is like 2.0.
Yeah, and I think with some of these, if it has a 5.1, like I think the original Terminator was stereo, and they tried to do some sort of 5.1 mix, and it just doesn't sound right. Like the stereo track is the best soundtrack to listen to, like on the original Terminator. So I think like back then, most of it was stereo, and if you get 5.1, that was later on, maybe mid-90s or something like that. You know, I don't know either. I could be wrong, but if you're an audiophile, you're hating this right now. But
yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, there's going to be the audio elitist out there, which it's fine. You can correct us on Twitter. But, you know, we're not experts on that. But the 2.3 for some reason, I'm really going to be hated. But the film sounds great. And
it sounds good.
Everything that Screen Factory has released, the sound is either excellent or just good.
Yeah.
So boom, there's no bad.
This Screen Factory release here has one documentary on here, and on the back it's labeled as interviews, which kind of caught me up by surprise. But when I actually started watching it, it's an actual documentary.
Boom.
What did you think about that?
That was okay. I mean, there's nothing right home about. It was okay. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I mean, it was
informative, Sean.
It was all right. But, you know, it wasn't anything. I mean, it was fun because this is a movie that I never, you know, I remember it had a theatrical release, and then I remember it came out on VHS. I never got around to seeing it, so it's kind of fun to see Dolph Lundgren kind of talk about it, you know. But as a special feature, it's all good. I mean, you know.
See, my problem is that I would want to watch the documentary, but then I would just feel that I needed to watch I Come in Peace again.
You're probably better off watching the movie again.
It's really hard for me to actually watch anything but I Come in Peace.
Yeah, but it's fun to see Dolph Lundgren kind of reminiscing about the movie, and that's where you get kind of more information about the about what's his face here. Shoot,
Craig Baxley. I'll give you some information on Craig Baxley. Oh, Matthias Hughes.
Matthias, yes. And so it's fun kind of learning about him a little bit. So
he's a huge like stunt coordinator for a bunch of shit.
Okay.
Like, he's a stuntman, I believe, as well. So it was kind of weird, like he stepped foot into this, you know, he came out of like the stunt thing, did some movies, did some TV. I mean, he's still active today, nothing major. But yeah, it's kind of funny to see, you know, people do that, you know, even like if it's an actor become director, like Ben Affleck, you know, he's been an actor for so long and then he starts doing movies and it's like, holy shit, Ben Affleck is like a fucking crazy awesome director. And it's fun to see somebody like goes in one order of business, you know, like a stuntman, branch out, do movies and make good ones, or versus, you know, just an actor becoming a director, or, you know, even if it's a second unit director, then he starts directing his own shit and it blows up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool, especially, you know, this guy's like a dedicated stuntman. You know, I think he's probably got numerous credits on a lot of stuff. No, I always saw his name pop up. That's why, like watching action movies, you'd always see the name pop up, or, you know, in the credits. Yes, I'm a nerd. I usually watch it in the movie. Because there's usually scenes. You don't know that. There's usually scenes at the end. That's not a new thing. A lot of people think that's like a new thing for theaters. And then like Marvel is like known for doing it all the time. That, you know, that pre-credit sequence or post-credit sequence. No, movies have done that for a while. And you just don't know what the fuck you're missing.
Right.
There's one in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That's amazing. But no one knows about it. Did you know that there was?
I don't know. Maybe I don't.
Like the credits roll. It's like after, you know, Rooney gets on the bus and everything, and then it ends, and then he comes out of the bathroom and he's like, what are you still doing here? It's over. Go home. You know, it's just, it's funny. It's just classic. So yeah. There's nothing in I Come in Peace. I don't know where did I get that from? Fuck it. Watch credits to see the post credits sequence, because there might be one.
There's not in this movie, though. Clarify.
Not in this one. Yeah, let's clarify. There's not one in this movie, but numerous movies that happens.
It does. You know, the thing that that in this documentary, speaking of the documentary, that Dolph Lundgren kept trying to hit home was, he's like, you know, it's not this, when we were doing this movie, it's not like today where everything's CG. Like, all those explosions, all the stunts, like, all that stuff was practical. Like, their lives were in danger.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what's so great about this movie, because it's timeless, mm-hmm. because of the action sequences. Like, they had that budget, you know, probably a few million dollars. They kept in that budget. They didn't do anything fucking crazy with aliens. They didn't do any crazy bullshit. They stuck to their guns, like, literally, and, you know, blew shit up and did all practical shit. And that's what makes this movie so good. Yeah. And I just remembered I was going to say something. I don't want to forget it, so I'm going to say it right now.
Go for it.
I Come in Peace, trust me, is a great movie, and you should watch it. But I've always paired it with another movie because they feel so similar and they're nothing alike. Well, kind of, they are a little bit alike, is Split Second. Split Second and I Come in Peace is probably the best. That double feature will get you laid. Like, if you have a chick over, you know, if you have your little lady friends, like, you can have more than one lady friend, you're going to get laid by one of them or all of them if you show this movie and I Split Second back to back.
That's a tall order.
Fact. But no, it's a great pair. And that's not, Scream Factory will not be releasing Split Second probably on Blu-ray. They've already said no. So we can kind of just all sigh.
Is Split Second even out on DVD? Is it probably a crappy transfer though, right?
No, it's actually a really good transfer. Well, I don't know. Let me take that back. I sold mine a long time ago. Yeah, I know. Well, the thing was, is that I had like 3 copies on VHS, and I kind of still do for some weird reason. I don't know. It was just one of those things where I was younger. I had it. I did the same thing with Demon Knight. A lot of people don't know this, but Demon Knight originally, when it was released on DVD, it like went for like $80. It was crazy. And then when it got re-released, of course, it went down. The same thing with They Live. They Live did the exact same thing. They were like those clamshell DVD cases.
Yeah. Yep.
And I had those because I would like go to Kmart and just buy like whatever came out. Kmart was right by the house, and they usually had like, you know, movies like that all the time. And I saw that it was selling, and I sold it and kind of regret it.
You don't want to know how much this is worth right now.
Ugh.
It's out of print.
Yeah, of course. It's been out sold, of print for a long
time. It's being sold used for $100.
Yeah.
New for $389.
I sold mine for about $50.
So Scream Factory or Shout Factory, come on, give a Split Second. Come on.
No, they can't. They can't. They can't.
Somebody.
I don't think they will, because I think I think whoever owns like HBO Video still actually has the rights to those.
Well, they're douchebags for not really for not.
Same thing with The Hitcher. I think The Hitcher's like that, to be honest with you, if I remember correctly. So we're not going to get The Hitcher on Blu-ray.
Oh, but we got the remake, so.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm just going to sit right down and just tell you guys, I'm a fucking fan of that remake. And I know, I don't understand the hate for it. The Hitcher remake is fucking good. Sean Bean is excellent. And probably one of the best uses of Closer in an action sequence you will ever see.
I actually haven't seen it. I was just being pretentious for no reason.
Oh, you're a dick. Watch it. So yeah, Split Second, I Come in Peace, great double feature. I Come in Peace is just great as alone. You don't need anything to back it up because that movie itself kicks ass. And this is another inexpensive Blu-ray. Am I right, Sean, since you were looking on Amazon?
It's about, hang on, make me look. I was
probably one of those $16
looking
ones.
I'm looking at Split Second here, getting all depressed because you got me wanting to see it. Now I pretty much can't friggin' see it unless it's streaming somewhere.
Oh, dude.
Somewhere seedy.
Like right. Split Second's like kind of a rare thing to find. Even like the VHS, VHS isn't rare, but I mean, it does, you know, it's not like I mean, of course, the movie's not in production, so what the fuck are you going to do?
Dark Angel is $14.98 right now. It's a
That's such a good price. All right,
it is
so there you go.
A good price.
Cheap Blu-ray, great movie, trust me. And I'll pimp that one out.
I need to pull a Bob Freelander and start tweeting this out.
What?
Where he just starts, you know, at certain times of the day, you just start seeing all these tweets from from Brian Sauer about, you know, this movie's this price, this movie's this price.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll make you spend money. I think there's actually, if you jump on right now to Amazon, there's a few Screen Factory releases that are on sale. So
I'm going to try to compile. I'm going to try to compile them here and let people know. Did you know, Brad, that there's a website called IMFDB? And that stands for the International Movie Firearm Database. And they've actually tracked the amount of weapons used in I Come in Peace. We have 3 submachine guns, 7 pistols, 3 revolvers, and 2 shotguns. And yes, they do list the alien pulse weapon, which is a converted Kaleco M950 as one of these submachine guns.
I did actually, I knew that.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually did know it was modified Kaleco. I did. I just wasn't, you know, talking about, you know, the guns.
Yeah.
I was talking about the guns. I should have mentioned that. Damn it! You stole my thunder.
I did. I'm sorry. So this database is pretty impressive. It's if you're anti-gun, you know, you'd probably be like, oh my gosh, they're talking about guns here, but glorifying guns. But it's pretty awesome.
Is there people like that?
There is. Yeah, I see them on Facebook all the time.
Oh.
But yeah, it's pretty awesome, and they have frames from each of the scene where each of these weapons is used.
Wow.
With a picture of the weapon.
That's pretty fucking cool, actually.
It is.
The internet actually made it paid off a little bit.
It did. Yeah, it's like IMDb, but with weapons.
There you go. Boom.
Brian Benben. Brian Benben. What a funny name. I wanted to talk about him for a second because Dolph Lundgren's like 6'5" or something, right? The dude's gigantic.
Yeah.
And Brian Benben is like 4'5" or something. The height difference between them is ridiculous. And I'm wondering, they probably did that on purpose.
Yeah.
But,
well, dude, there's that line where they're like, after all that shit goes down, they're like in, you know, Dolph Lundgren's apartment that looks like really, really nice that, you know, even says, I wouldn't expect this.
Yeah.
And they go into the closet and he hands him that jacket and he said, hey, you know, it fits. And he's like, it should. You know, Dolph Lundgren says, it should. It was mine when I was 12.
Right.
That line always got to me, man. It's so fucking funny.
Pretty fantastic. Yeah. Like, and I'm putting 2 and 2 together, and I actually really like his character in this, the FBI agent. Like he's
like he's one of those, he's that asshole,
yeah,
you know, at first, and then they become that's why I say Split Second is a good comparison, because that's kind of the same thing that goes along in that, is that Rutter Hauer's compared with this other guy. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like an asshole, but then like they get to be really good friends. And they're hunting this alien, you know?
Yeah.
That's a serial killer. If that plot doesn't sell you, I don't know what the fuck will.
I don't know. Man.
Split Second is about an alien serial killer.
Wow.
Yes.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I know. There's like, you can't like finish that. Like, there's nothing else to say.
Dude, like I said, I want to see friggin' Split Second right now.
I might watch it tonight. Yes. Boom. Not on my DVD that I sold for $50. Go. Damn it.
I know. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. We talked I Come in Peace and Eve of Destruction. So you do it way better than I do.
Eve of Destruction.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, that's like not the highlight of the show, though. I mean, it's I Come in Peace, Sean.
It is.
We will say Eve. Oh, God.
No.
Show's over.
Hey, you know, I wanted to ask you this. Why is I in quotes in the title?
You know? I don't know, it's a question.
I don't know either. I just think that's funny.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Technically, it's air quotes, I come in peace. It's technically the title of the movie.
Wonder why.
We may never know.
Huh. Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, I remember picking it up countless times and seeing that, but just never questioned it.
Yeah. Hmm.
Why is Gregory Hines an Eve of Destruction?
You know, there are some things in this universe we may never know, and, you know.
We should have had Gregory Hines on the show.
He's, well, do we want to go there?
Jesus Christ. No, God damn it. I really do have to look up the people that have died, like, yeah, before we speak of them, because I think that's two jokes that I made where, you know, damn it. Now that I think about it, yeah, I did know Gregory Hines died.
And it is actually a sad story. So anyway, with that, we hope you all have a fantastic week. We'll talk to all of you next time. Thanks for tuning in. And I believe this show is a train wreck. So we're going to have a guest next week, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Gregory Hines fans, gun nuts, and the accent that I did in the beginning.
Yeah. And pet owners that I pissed off.
Yes. And guns.
Guns.
All right. Goodbye, guys.
Jesus. Yeah. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you later.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.